For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're going to focus on the Lord's Supper today, and that's something that we do each first day of the week. And if you're new to the church and you don't understand it, don't worry. We're going to explain it to you. You see, we come together on the first day of every week and we partake of the Lord's Supper. And it's the same Lord's Supper that Jesus did with his disciples when he was participating in the Passover feast with them. But the problem I've always had when I was growing up is I knew that I was baptized and that I was a Christian now, and I knew that we were supposed to drink a little juice and eat a little cracker, but what else am I supposed to do during that? Because it's a part of worship, and as a child, as I was doing it, as I was growing up in the church, I was doing it, but I was just kind of going through the motions. And as I've gotten older, I realize that this small act has so much big implications on our worship. You see, when we come in here on Sunday, it's not just to be entertained by your preacher, amen? It's not just to hear good songs being sung, amen? We come in here to worship. So I want today to teach you how to worship during the Lord's Supper. Now, there's a lot of things that I want to go over with you before we get into that, because I have a chance to do some announcements. Number one, we're still in the 50 days of prayer. If you're participating in that, we got a prayer prompt. And this week, we're going to be praying about the spiritual growth of us as individuals as well as the church. But there's something bigger going on next month on April the 20th. We're going to be having a tent service. I'm looking around today. There are very few empty spaces left down here. And that is a good thing. But you know what? I want it to be even fuller for Easter. And you know what that means? That means you're going to have to find somebody to bring with you. And if you need lessons on how to win friends and influence people, talk to Austin. He can tell you how to do it. He makes friends everywhere he goes. But the thing of it is this is not this Easter service that we're having. We're not having Bible classes that day, but this service that we are having is going to be geared towards those that don't know Christ. It's going to be geared towards those that we want to bring in, that we want to baptize, that we want to have a part of this fellowship. I love the fact that we're getting so full because it causes our elders grief. They're trying to figure out what to do with all of you folks. And while they're trying to figure out what to do with all of you folks, we're going to let the Spirit continue to grow in here, and we're going to love each other, and we're going to be united with each other, even when we don't agree on everything. Amen. So this morning, we're going to go through why we do the Lord's Supper, and we're going to actually partake of the Lord's Supper at the very end of the service. We're going to have some songs, and I'm going to give you some reasons and some ways as to why we partake of the Lord's Supper. The very first thing, if you've got your lesson notes here, it says, why do we participate? And number one, it is to remember. It is to remember. This afternoon, I'm doing a funeral graveside service for a lady that used to be a member here several years ago. Her name is Velma Jerkins, and Velma lived to be 102. And it's a pretty impressive lady. I got to know her real well because as she got older, she needed me to drive her to the airport whenever she went to visit family. And so I got to know her pretty well. And as a matter of fact, I got to know her sometimes so well that sometimes I even made her mad. But one of the things that I really, when I was thinking about her and I was remembering her, I didn't remember everything about her, but I remembered some things as I was preparing for this service. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, of course, we're supposed to remember his death, because that's pretty important. That's an important part of our faith, but we're also to remember how he lived and what he did for us. You see, Velma was a sweetheart, and I remember not just that she passed at 102, but I remember when I would take her to the airport and I would tease her that it's like driving Miss Daisy, because I had to drive slow so I didn't scare her, and I had to follow her directions on how we were going. You see, today, when you remember Jesus, his death and his suffering because of our sins is a very important part of that, but it's also remembering that he lived a life for us to follow. He lived an amazing life. And here's the big thing. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for you. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you where I am. So today, when you participate, or in the future, when you participate, just remember what Jesus did for you. Remember how he lived. Remember how he died. But remember that he's coming back for you.
Good morning. Y'all pray with me this morning as I'm trying to fight these severe allergies, but I couldn't let the devil win and not come up here and give my praise. So let's go ahead and give God his reverence. God sent his son.
Thank you.
1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26 says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Christ died for me, but he's coming back for me. You see, his death got me out of hell and into heaven, but his resurrection got God out of heaven and into me. I want you to think about that for a moment. The God of heaven promised to give his spirit to me, the loser that I am. God promised that through the death of his son, that he would give a power to me in order that I might live for him. A lot of times, I've been in churches my whole life. I don't ever remember a time that I didn't go to church. Maybe on one or two occasions when I was sick, or maybe when something happened and I couldn't make it. But for the most part, there's not been a Sunday that I have not been in church. And I have participated in church services of thousands of people, and I've participated in church services of just a few. And in all the churches that I've been to, a lot of times when they get to this part of the Lord's Supper, they want to make it just a very somber occasion. And I think I understand why, because if you really think about what Jesus went through on the cross so that he could save me from my sins, it is a very sobering moment. Amen? But you see, it's not just that he went through all of that. It's the fact that he is going to come back. And that causes me to rejoice. That causes me to see my life differently. And I think sometimes when it comes to partaking of the Lord's Supper, there needs to be some joy in it. And I know that sometimes we want to beat ourselves up because of the sin that we've committed, the ways that we have fallen short, and I understand that. But because of what Christ did on the cross, I don't have to live like I'm going to hell. And when I think of what Jesus went through on the cross, yes, it's very sobering. But when I think about the fact that he was risen from the dead, and that now death no longer has any hold on me, guess what? It brings me joy. You see, when we remember the people that we love, I was emailing with a friend of mine, and we lost contact for some time, and I was catching up with him, bringing him up to date, what's going on with me and what's going on with him. And we're about the same age. He's a couple of years older than me, but he was talking about losing both of his parents, and I was telling about Nancy losing both her parents and me losing my father, and we were just kind of emailing back and forth. And as we were doing that, I remembered his mom and dad. Not how they died, I just remembered him. I started thinking about my dad, Nancy's mom and dad, and I just remembered. And while I am so sad that I lost them, I'm so thankful for the memories. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. His death got me out of hell and into heaven. His resurrection got God out of heaven and into me.
My Jesus, I love thee, I
The third thing that I want us to focus on today as we partake of the Lord's Supper is this idea of repentance. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. I have a practice that I do every Sunday morning. It's something that I started several years ago, and it's been very helpful to me. But one of the things that I think when we come together is we need to examine ourselves. I've done this practice as a part of the Lord's Supper just to see where it is that I need to change. And I don't know if you're like me, but I need to change a lot. I know I need to change because I was sitting next to one of our members today and they said, Neil, did you speed a lot this week? And I looked at him and I said, every chance I could. And we joke about my driving because y'all like to joke about my driving. But it's not my driving that really bothers me. It's my attitude. It's the thoughts that I have from time to time. It's the hatred that I show in my heart. It's my selfishness and how I want to live. You see, when we come to worship, and I know I have said this so many times, we should not leave the same way we came in. And particularly during the Lord's Supper, we need to repent. And you say, well, you know, Neil, I haven't done anything really all that bad this week. Maybe I told a white lie, but I've just really didn't do anything all that bad, so I'm okay. Repentance is more than being sorry for your sin. Repentance is a turning towards God. I've had people tell me from time to time, say, Neil, you know, repentance just means you need to turn around. And I'm like, well, that makes no sense whatsoever. Because in my life, if there's a sin over here that I'm focused on and I repent, guess what? I'm just going to turn around and do some other sin. But true repentance is when you turn towards God. When Jesus started preaching, his very first sermon was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was all it was. They gave the invitation, everybody went home. Because it's so important for us when we partake of the Lord's Supper to repent, to turn towards God. I wish I knew all the reasons why God gave us the Lord's Supper and commanded us to partake of it and proclaim his death until he comes. I really wish I knew all the nuances behind that. I don't, but here's one that I'm thinking of that in my life really works is because of the fact that there's so many things out there calling for my attention. You know, I was just looking over the shoulder of one of the young boys in our church is now over here in children's church, and he had a phone, and he was on Snapchat making funny faces, and I got to make some funny faces with him. And then there's something that you see on TV that you go, oh, you know what? I need that because I want to have the brightest smile around. And then there's work that calls us. And then there's bills that calls us, and I'm doing something that I really hate right now. It's a thing called taxes, and I'm having to get all those things together and put it all together, and then I keep holding my breath wondering how much money I'm going to have to pay this year. All of those things take my focus away from God. It may be that the bushes in the front of my yard need mulch. It may be that I got to go get my oil changed. It may be Nancy needs me to run to the grocery store and pick up 4 items, and I always forget one. She sends me to 6, hoping I'll forget one, and it won't be one she needs. But the thing of it is you got all of these distractions, and then we come in here for this one moment, and it seems so brief that we get to focus and turn towards God. I don't think because we've grown up in the church and because of the things that we see in society, I don't think we really realize the magnitude of coming before the throne of God and partaking of a meal that signifies the death and the resurrection of His Son. Because if I thought that way all the time when I partook of the Lord's Supper, guess what? I would always repent. We sing an invitation song each week, and we do that because we know in a crowd this size, someone needs to make some changes. But I'm going to tell you this, it's not just someone, it's everyone in here. You see, when we sing that invitation song, it's not just for the bad person. It's for people who are trying to do their best. Because that invitation song says, I'm going to examine my life as I turn towards God to see what I need to change. Some of it may be small. Some of it you may need to be finding a church home. Some of it may be that you just need to get your relationship with others right. It may be that there's some sin in your life that you're conquering and you just need the prayers of the church, the forgiveness of God. It may be that you're here and you've never been buried with Christ in baptism and you don't know the resurrected Lord through baptism. Whatever the need is, we sing not to one person, we sing to each other, to encourage each other. I am so fortunate to be a part of this church because each week somebody sends me a text or an email, and it's almost a daily thing because somebody texts me and says some kind of encouraging word. And I love getting those, and I especially love it when people tell me what's going on in their life and they tell me about the fact that they are doing this in order to stay focused on God, or they ran into this person and it was just a God moment. If you ever get a chance to talk to Bob and Judy Wood about something that happened Wednesday, what a God moment for them. And I'm so encouraged by those moments. So when we sing that invitation song, it may very well be that that's the encouragement that you need then. Maybe you need to make sure your life is right with Christ. Maybe that you may need to make an apology to someone. It may be that you need to make a slight change, but whatever it is, all of us in here today need to turn to God. We're going to sing this invitation song, and if you have a need in any way and would like to come forward, please do as we stand and sing.
What can wash away my sin?
Our brother Paul Dumas comes forward this morning asking for prayers. Paul has had an ongoing struggle with alcohol, and it has gotten the best of his life. It's ruined some of his relationships. It's giving him a hard time. But through it all, he's known the love of Christ. And today he comes forward saying he wants to make a change. And we as a church, Paul, we're going to hold you accountable. And we're going to pray for you, and we're going to lift you up. And I know that your struggle is a lifelong struggle. But we have a Savior that is greater than any struggle we have here on this earth. And he has given us a spirit. It's the same spirit, according to 1 Corinthians, that raised Jesus from the dead. We have a power that will help us overcome anything. And your commitment by coming forward this morning has blessed us tremendously, because we knew that it takes courage to say, I need prayers and I need help. And I know we're going to get those things. And I'm especially thankful for your brother who has been by your side all of these years helping you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for Paul's conviction, for his willingness to stand before you and us, admitting his sin and admitting his need for you. Father, I'm asking you to put it on the heart of every member of this church this week to reach out to Paul through a text, through a phone call, to encourage him, to help him to overcome his addiction, to help him, Father, to see that you love him and you care about him, and the people of the body of Christ here are here to hold him up and to help him in his walk. Father, he's not the only one in the room that has addictions. He's not the only one in the room that is trying to overcome things. So, Father, we appreciate his courage in coming forward, and we pray that his courage might call others to name their addiction and to seek help. Father, thank you again for the members of this body, for the fact that we can turn towards you at any time. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. So the fourth reason why we participate in the Lord's Supper is to reconcile. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on themselves. One of the things that I do when I partake of the Lord's Supper, it's usually during the comments that are being made, but I ask God to put on my heart anyone that I'm not right with. Because when he says we need to examine ourselves, and anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body, we're drinking judgment on ourselves. And to me, that passage of Scripture has a lot to do with members of the body of Christ. Amen? And there's times when I pray and I just say, God, I don't know how you're doing it because we have so many weird people in this church, but you're keeping us together. I mean, really and truly, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but there are only two people in this church that are sane. And I'm not one of them. Everybody in this church is broken. And if you're thinking you're one of the two, guess what? You're wrong. The only two people I know that are not broken is my wife, Nancy, and Austin Drake. And I can tell by Austin's laugh, he's broken too. Nancy's just giving me that look that she gives me every Sunday, even when we're at home. But the thing of it is we're all broken. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes my friend here, Jason, he gets on my nerves. But you know what? I love him. I love him. If you haven't been around Jan, he's a little much at times. If you don't believe so, ask Kathy. And you know what? My buddy here, Bill Collette, he's weird too. And I'm coming all the way to back because I want you to know that everybody in here is weird. And I got a new friend here, George. I had lunch with him the other day, and I'm still getting over it. But the one thing I do on Sunday morning, I ask God, is there anyone that I need to make my relationship right with? Because these words are so impactful. If anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. I feel like that I am the nicest guy that I've ever met when I am asleep. But the rest of the time, I kind of muddle through this life. I had an elder, he said, Neil, you got to quit using throwaway words. And I asked him, what do you mean? He says, you say stuff without thinking. And I said, that's who I am. Before we partake of this, And I know it works because God does it in my life. Is there anyone that you're holding a grudge against? Is there anyone that you feel malice towards? Is there anyone that you need to apologize to that's in the body? When I worship, you probably notice, I turn around and I look at you. Because I'm recognizing the body. And today, as we sing this song before we go into this solemn event called the Lord's Supper, I know the words are here and the words are there. Take a moment and turn around and look at each other.